Let's pray before I share. Lord, I just give you thanks for this day. I pray, Lord, that you bring the words to say, Lord, encourage our hearts. Let us leave here with just a practical approach to how to renew our minds and to cast our cares on you and to battle against the thoughts, the worries, and the concerns of the day and the enemy schemes. Lord, we just give you thanks and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, we had our lunch. And, you know, one of the reasons we have lunch together is to build fellowship, to spend time with one another, to get to know each other in a natural level, and also to encourage one another spiritually. And as some of us brothers were sitting together, we were just talking about some of the different tests and the trials that, you know, we can go through. And the question came, it's like, how do we, you know, as Paul was saying, you know, outward man is perishing, but inwardly we're being renewed. And he's talking about how they're given over to death, you know, day by day. And they're going through a lot. And he's like, but we don't lose heart. And the question came to mind is how can we go through these things and not lose heart? And there's obviously a level of knowing that God is at work, that he's doing a work through it, and he's causing our inward man, as we trust and rely on him, to be renewed day by day. Another brother had shared just a simple thing. He said, you know, when I'm going through these things, it just helps to just say, you know what? God, you're good. God is good. And that got me just thinking about that. God, you're good. And just whatever we're going through, just to proclaim that, to give him thanks and praise, and doesn't matter what we're going through, God is good. So I thought of a verse in the Psalms, in Psalm 8, and I'll start there in Psalm 8, verse 1 and 2, and go through some examples of how praise silences the enemy. And we sang that song, let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. You know, those aren't just words that someone made up out of the top of their head. Those are actually based on scripture, and we're going to look at those today. And this is very practical for all of us, and I hope we can bring this, if we can apply this in our life and genuinely give him thanks and praise out of faith and hope, our lives will be changed and our days will be changed, and we won't be stuck in a state of anxiety and discouragement or fear. So Psalm 8, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. I like how it says it in this NIV version, where it says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Do you see how praise is a weapon that silences the enemy? He establishes a stronghold through the praise of children and infants. Now let's see how this plays out in Matthew chapter 21. Because Jesus quotes this to the scribes and the chief priests. Matthew 21. Okay, so Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's coming in. He's riding on a donkey, and the people are crying out. They're spreading the palm branches, and they're crying out. In verse 9, the multitudes who went before him and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It's written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. They were angry. And said to them, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never heard, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" So praise from the children and infants caused the chief priests and the scribes, who were not filled with the Holy Spirit, or they were not following Jesus, they were basically enemies of Christ. It caused them to become angry and indignant. So this tells me that when we praise and give thanks, the devil gets angry. He doesn't like it. And what were they praising? They were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." That's what they're saying. Hosanna to the Son of David. We talked about this on a Friday night when we read through John the other day, a couple weeks ago. And Hosanna means save us. It means save now, or save, we pray. It's a prayer to mean save. I mean, it's turned into a more of a praise, but that's what it means. Save us. When we cry out, "Hosanna, save us," silences the enemy. It's just so simple. Cried out from our heart, "God, Hosanna, save. I'm struggling. I got, the enemies are bombarding me. You know, the nations, they surrounded me." But they'll be quenched. How will they be quenched? When we cry out into the name of the Lord, we cry out, "Hosanna." They will be quenched. It's from Psalm 118. That's where actually the word, the Hebrew word for Hosanna is right there in Psalm 118, where it says, "Save us. Send now prosperity." That's the Hosanna. It's kind of encouraging. It's so simple. So let's look at another example in Philippians chapter 4. Has anyone, you don't have to put up your hands, but I'm sure most of us have experienced various times in our life being anxious. Now, some people can struggle with this every day, and it can be a debilitating anxiety that comes over them. Some, it's just maybe different trials, and they're feeling more anxious at different times and seasons. But whatever the case may be, God is able to save to the uttermost. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7. Let's look at verse 4 first. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Paul wrote this in prison. Can he rejoice in prison? Yes, he did. "Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul is saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can come to a place where we can don't need to be anxious. He says, be anxious for nothing. We can look at it as, this is a command, don't be anxious. Or we can look at it as a promise. God says we can come to a place where, as we put our trust and hope in God, that we don't have to live in a state of anxiety, state of being anxious. And how is this accomplished? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Do you see that thanksgiving there? God, you're good. God, I need help. Hosanna, you're good. Those three words, Hosanna, you're good. You're calling on the name of the Lord and you're expressing thanksgiving all in one. Prayer and thanksgiving. And what's going to happen? The peace of God is going to guard your heart and mind. Peace is going to come because the Lord is going to fight for us as we're expressing thanks and praise. So can we see now that this is actually, there's a spiritual battle going on. We can call it spiritual warfare. You know, it can mean different things to different people. But spiritual warfare is just when there's battles going on in our life and the devil wants to come and bring temptation or whatever it may be, there's a war. What are we going to do? Are we going to succumb to it? Or will we come to the Lord, call on his name, and know that he is able? It says, resist the devil and he will flee. And then it says, submit to God, right? Submit to God, resist the devil. Submitting to God is trusting that he's able to save to the uttermost. Trusting that as I give him thanks and praise, he's going to cause the enemy to scatter. So there's two ways I'm just going to talk about. I'm going to focus on praise, but there's one more that I have to share about briefly. When it talks about the weapons of our warfare, and you know, Ephesians 6, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, that's a very critical part of battling the enemy is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We have to have the word within us. We have to believe it and you know, confessing the word with our mouth. So when Jesus came and he was tempted for 40 days by the devil, what was the main thing that he used when the devil came and the devil was quoting scripture? He was misquoting scripture. And what did Jesus say? With every temptation, he said, it is written, and he quoted scripture in truth and accurately. So we need to have that word within us. You know, to come upon the word, that's a weapon that we use to fight against the enemy. We have to say, it is written, I do not receive this. You know, when the devil comes, and believe me, he'll come and he'll say, there's no help for you in God. You know, I believe that's in Psalm 2. When the devil comes and he says, there's no help for you in God. That's what the devil will say. You know, he hasn't helped you here. Look at how you're struggling and you know, you stumbled there and so on. There's no help for you. Will we believe that? Or will we believe the word of God? That says, greater is he who's in me than he that is in the world. And that he came to, that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And then when it says that he, when he died on the cross, he became, he defeated the principalities and the powers on the cross. They were defeated. So they have no power over us in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to live. Or we can, or then the devil will say, well, look, you know, Adam, he was created in the likeness of God. He was created, he didn't have any sin. And then, you know, he couldn't resist, he didn't resist the temptation. He fell, and now all of us are fall sway under the, you know, receiving that flesh and born with that flesh. So now we're going to continually to stumble. That's what the devil is going to say. There's no hope. You're going to just live like this. Or we can take the promise as it talks about in, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 5. Let me see if I can find this now. Might not be in 1 Corinthians 5, but maybe it's 2 Corinthians. But he says, it might be in Romans, but I'm going to quote it. When Jesus said, I'm going to summarize it this way. When the devil says what Adam did is greater, but Jesus, what he did in the gift of the grace of righteousness is much greater than what Adam did. Maybe someone knows where that passage is. What's that? Romans 5. Okay. Romans 5. Thank you. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Much more. Do you see what Jesus did on the cross was much greater than what Adam did? So we can't say when the devil says, oh, Adam, you know, did this, now we're all under the sway of the wicked one, and we're just going to be slaves and defeated. No, what Jesus did on the cross is much greater. And his gift of grace, do you know that grace is power? Grace is power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. So it is power to overcome. So that's what we need the Word of God for. That's why we have these wonderful truths in the Scriptures, so we can say, no, that's a lie. You know, I don't have to be defeated by the enemy. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm a new creation in Christ. I receive a new mind. Right? So that's the sword. It is written. And we need to know the Word so we can get those promises in time of need. Now, the other thing which I'm focusing on here is the spiritual warfare of praise and thanksgiving. Now, this is a common passage. I'm just going to briefly review in 2 Chronicles 20. And I'll summarize a bit of it here. But remember, in 2 Chronicles 20, there's the Ammonites and the Moabites came against Jehoshaphat. And it was, they were a great multitude. And when Jehoshaphat heard about it, he was fearful. And what he did was he went to the Lord, and he said in verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, he acknowledged that we have no power against this great multitude that is coming, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then through the prophet, Jehaziel, he said, do not, in verse 15, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then in verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Basically, he's saying, be still and know that I am God. Stand still and see the salvation. Now, the natural man will think, okay, what's going to happen is there's going to be, you know, at various times, even with Gideon, they saw 300 defeat the enemy, and they actually fought. So they're going to, you would have thought that they're going to actually have to fight, and they're going to have to be armed with weapons. But there was a different weapon that was used in this situation, and this is a new covenant weapon. We don't fight with natural weapons, right? That doesn't do anything for us. This is how we fight in the new covenant. It says, in verse 19, then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. You know, it's biblical to sing to the Lord loud and high. You know, sometimes I wish I had a little bit of a higher voice. You know, I'd like to sing tenor, but, you know, I've been given baritone or bass, and I have to struggle sometimes. But I like to sing loud. That's one thing I enjoy doing. But here the Levites, they sang loud and high. And then they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Now they needed faith. Right? We can read all the scriptures, but we got to believe them. Okay? Believe the prophets. Believe the word of God. When we go and we sing praise and we cry out, Hosanna, God, you're good. Is something going to happen? Yes, the enemy is going to be silenced. That's the word of God. We have to believe it. So then when, verse 21, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And that's what they sang. There's other places, this phrase is repeated in a number of places. It's praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's repeated so many times, and I'll look at a few of them later on. But that is a common thing that they sang out, and they repeated, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy or his loving kindness endures forever. Do we believe that? That he's good and his loving kindness endures forever? That's a battle cry right there. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And so what happened was, as they sang and they praised, the three nations started to get confused, and they started to destroy one another. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we come and we praise the Lord. Confusion comes in the plans of the enemy. The schemes of the enemy get confused. And the Lord's plans are established. And the enemy gets defeated. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Just a simple thing in faith. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 10 as it talks about the weapons of our warfare. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly weapons, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you know where the devil's battleground is? Do you know where the battleground is? It's here. It's in the mind and in the thoughts. I'm sure we've all experienced it. The praise of his children, we are his children, silences those thoughts, silences the foe and the avenger. So the weapons of our warfare, what are they? I talked about the word of God, and I talked about praise and thanksgiving. Simple thanksgiving. And it pulls down strongholds. Thanksgiving will pull down strongholds. It will cast down the arguments. It will cast down the arguments that come into our mind. Doubts or unbelief, they come. Discouragement, anxieties. Thanksgiving will cast it out. And it will cause us to be able to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Praise will even help us when we, in our walk to obey the Lord, in our thought life. That's encouraging. In Psalm 22, verse 3, I'll quote it. You don't necessarily have to turn there if you don't want, but Psalm 22, 3, it says, "But you are holy. You're enthroned in the praise of Israel." The King James says, "Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." You dwell in, you live in, you're enthroned in the praises of Israel, of your people. As we have that praise from the heart. Now, when I'm talking about praise mixed with faith, from the heart mixed with faith, the Lord is inhabited in that. So when we praise the Lord, we're inviting his presence. We're inviting his presence to drive away the enemy. It's interesting to think about, we're enthroned, that the praises, they're surround. He's dwelling within those praises, that his presence. We can say, well, how does that work? You know, well, it says in Ephesians 5, I'll just read this here in Ephesians 5. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine," in verse 18, "which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So you know in the Acts when they were filled with the Spirit? You know, Pentecost was the first time. But did you know that as they were praising the Lord and praying, I believe it was in Acts 4, that the place was shaken and they were filled with the Spirit again. And it says they were filled with boldness. Does it mean that they had lost the Spirit? No. We're supposed to, that word be filled is to be being filled, to be continually filled. We need to be filled. So as we're praising the Lord and his presence, we're inviting his presence to, Lord, fill me up. Because what does it say right after that? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Spirit outpours then thanksgiving and praise. And as we do that, we're continually filled. It's like a cycle. I call on the Lord, and giving him praise, he's filling me. And as I'm being more filled with the Spirit, I'm more praise and thanksgiving is coming out. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things, not just the good things. Giving thanks in times of difficulty, still continue to give thanks. Lord, you allowed it. I don't like it. It's hard to have joy, but you've allowed it. And I know there's a purpose because you're a refining fire and you want to make me like pure gold. You want to make me more like you, Jesus. So that inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Do you remember in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were in prison and they were chained there? What were they doing there? I think it was near midnight. Acts 16, 25 and 26, they were chained and in prison, but they were praising, they were praying and singing hymns to God. That's what they were doing. And what happened? There was a great earthquake. Do you see that just simple prayer and singing causes the earth to shake? It causes a shaking in the heavenly realms. There was a great earthquake and all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. There's a spiritual application here. Praise has the power to break spiritual chains and to open prison doors. Right? Do we feel that there's some chains in various areas? Start to praise God. Those chains will be broken. Praise him in faith. Chains will be broken. Are there areas of chains in your life? The Lord wants to set you free. He wants to break the chains and open the prison doors. Cry out, Hosanna. And cry out, save us. Save me. He'll break the chains. So there's power in the words, God is good. I like that, brother, it's just simple. You know, I just say, God is good. Just meditate on that. There's power there. Let's look at this in Psalm 100. You know, David, there's a number of examples when he was fleeing, he was running, he was hiding in a cave, or he was running from Saul and had to pretend madness. And in the midst of it, he wrote a psalm. He sang a psalm to the Lord. So, Psalm 100. In verse 1 and actually, well, the whole thing, really. It's very short, 5 verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. That's how we enter his presence. Come before him with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Again, that's how we enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Do you believe that with your whole heart? Do you believe that with your whole heart? That is a life-changing truth. The Lord is good. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And it's not, this is something you can do alone. It doesn't have to be as some of the churches have made it, a big band with lights and smoke and dry ice and the drums have to be pounding loud and it creates a stir in the soul. That's not what we're talking about. That is not. It's just simple in your bedroom, in your closet, wherever it may be. You are good, Lord. start to sing in the Spirit. Sing words that come to you from your heart. That's true worship. Laying our life down before Him. That's true praise. I'll correct it myself. I'll say that's true praise. As we know, worship is our whole life being a living sacrifice. But praise, that's what praise is. It's not about the band. It's not about that. It's about our heart. In Psalm 34, this is where David was. Running from Saul and pretended madness. And so it wasn't a easy time. It wasn't a time of really celebration and where great things were happening. He was running and there is fear. And he says, you know, this in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Again, it's at all times. It's not just in the good times. When he's running away from Saul, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. In verse 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. And then verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. How could he say that in this time where he's being driven away by Saul and being tormented and chased day and night? Taste and see the Lord is good. In those times when the battles are heavy, when we rely on him, we experience his presence more than ever before. As probably many of us can look back in the most difficult times of our life, we saw how near he was to us. We experienced it as we cried out to him. I won't turn there, but another example is in David when he was fled from Saul in the cave. And he wrote in Psalm 57, which is quoted also in 1 Samuel 22. And he says, I will sing and give praise. Awake, lute and harp. I will praise you, O Lord. I will sing to you among the nations. That was his response in the midst of the trial. I'm going to finish with this. In 2 Chronicles 5, this was the one thing that came to me when we were talking at the table last week. And I hadn't put two and two together. And I want, it's all in the same theme, but it's just another example. 2 Chronicles 5. So this is when Solomon built the temple. Magnificent temple. But it was gold and all these things, and it was essentially brick and mortar. But it was a picture because God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands anymore. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so let's keep that in mind as we're reading this. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants to dwell in us through the power of his Holy Spirit. So they brought in the Ark of the Covenant. And then in verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanksgiving the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, and this is what they said, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Again, that's what they said. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. That was the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. As I talked about in Ephesians, as we're praising the Lord, be being filled. That's the presence of the Lord came into the house. So as we sing, Lord, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. As we sing that to the Lord, his presence, his spirit is going to continue to fill us as we sing that in faith. And that was the thing that I saw. I didn't I didn't tie it together with proclaiming his goodness and the glory of the Lord filling the temple. Proclaim his goodness. His glory will fill. Not this drywall and wood. No, he'll fill us. He'll fill us. The enemies will be scattered. There will be victory in the name of Jesus. They also proclaimed it when David had the tabernacle. You know, before this, when he had this tabernacle. And you don't need to turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 16, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And it's interesting, in that same passage, save us, O God, of our salvation. The two things we're talking about here, I found this verse this morning. It's like, Hosanna and God, you're good, right here in David's psalm in 1 Chronicles 16. I don't know what exactly verse it is in there, but it's, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, and save us, O God of our salvation." It's tied together. Those two truths we can pull out, very practical for us. Are we going to cry out to the Lord, "Save us, Hosanna," this week, this afternoon, tomorrow morning? Are we going to cry out, "You're good"? Even when Ezra, when they laid that, this temple was destroyed and they built a new temple, when the foundation was laid, that's what they cried out. "He is good and his mercy endures forever." It's just repeated. In Psalm 136, the whole thing is, you know, it starts with, I'll just read a couple of the things there. Every line of the verse, it proclaims what he's done for them and that he's good, or his mercy endures forever. Psalm 136 starts with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, his mercy endures forever." And it just repeats that, his mercy endures forever, every verse of that psalm, and remembering what he did, how he delivered them from Egypt, his mercy endures forever. He, you know, spread the Red Sea, he parted the seas, his mercy endures forever. And who remembered us in our lowly state, his mercy endures forever. That's something that we need to do also, is remember what he's done for us and say, "Thank you, Lord, you're good. Look what you did here and here and how you delivered me." Remember that. Your mercy endures, your loving kindness, you're so good to me. And even when I don't think that, and the devil tries to lie and say, "There's no help for you in God." No, you're good and your mercy endures forever. I don't receive that. Resist that in Jesus' name. So just practical things for us. God is good. His mercy endures forever. The praise of his people. He's enthroned. He inhabits the praise of his people. And praise silences the foe and the avenger. Powerful things that we can take with us this week.